This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From pop culture to politics to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And in addition to all the other problems and challenges and difficulties that our children face, particularly in an era of a pandemic, loneliness has emerged as a worldwide challenge. There is a new study that was highlighted yesterday in the Washington Post. The lead author of that study, which is a part of the data from the Program for International Student Assessment, it's a survey of over 1 million 15 and 16-year-old students, is that loneliness has been skyrocketing for more than 10 years. And the lead author of the study is Jean Twenge. Dr. Twenge is the author of iGen, Why Today's Superconnected Kids Are Growing Up Less Rebellious, More Tolerant, Less Happy, and Completely Unprepared for Adulthood. In terms of this measure of loneliness, first of all, it's 36 out of 37 countries. Feelings of loneliness among teenagers rose sharply. Why does it matter if teenagers feel lonely, Dr. Twenge?
Well, loneliness is a problem in and of itself. When people feel lonely, they're feeling disconnected from the people around them. And in addition, loneliness is a major risk factor for serious depression. So it's a mental health issue as well as being something that's about isolation.
Dr. Twenge is a professor of psychology at San Diego State University, and she's spoken all over the country on some of these issues. Loneliness is directly correlated to drug problems, suicide, and other negative consequences, no?
It is. And what's most worrying here is this increase in teen loneliness happened before the pandemic even started. So the data from this big survey that's done worldwide, it began in 2000, and we found very little change in loneliness between 2000 and 2012. But then from 2012 to 2018, as you mentioned, 36 out of 37 countries showed a noticeable increase in teen loneliness. So much that in that pretty brief period, just 6 years, the number of teens who were high in loneliness doubled around the world.
Okay, one of the conclusions that you've reached, and I've followed more of your work beyond this one study, so it's very consistent in this regard, is that a great deal of what passes for socialization, which has to do with social media, which has to do with being on your phone and sending messages back and forth, you actually suggest that increases rather than addressing the problem of loneliness. Why is it that people who are so heavily connected find some of these indicators of loneliness?
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. So, yes, interacting online can connect you to people, but if it takes the place of actually getting together face-to-face and hanging out like teens have done for centuries, that's when it can be a problem. And in other research, that's exactly what we have found, that beginning around 2012, teens started to spend a lot more time on social media and online and texting, communicating with each other electronically. And they also started to spend a lot less time hanging out with each other in person. And again, this is all before the pandemic struck. So the problem is that interacting online, it's kind of like cookies or sugar or junk food. It's not as fulfilling. It'll give you calories, but they're relatively empty calories compared with the more true feeling of connection, the more emotional connection you get from actually being with someone face to face. So that online interaction can't really replace being in the same room with somebody or hanging out with someone.
To give people a sense of what we're talking about, Dr. Twenge, what are some of the indicators that went up that indicate this general sense of loneliness, isolation, disconnection? What questions specifically were some of these 1 million teens that you looked at, what were they responding to, and what were their responses?
Yeah, so this particular survey asked about loneliness at school. So if you feel like you fit in at school, or in the opposite, that you feel like an outsider, if you feel lonely at school. So that's the other thing that's so interesting about this particular survey, is it's not just that teens are feeling lonely overall, and we knew that from other studies in the U.S., but they're specifically being impacted in how much they feel like they fit in with their schoolmates. And so that may point to a role for the phone making people feel isolated when they're at school, because most schools allow phones during the school day. So if you go into a middle school or a high school and you look at the lunchroom, many times what you'll see is lots of teens on their phones sitting right next to each other, communicating electronically rather than communicating face-to-face. So what some educators tell me is that lunchrooms these days are eerily quiet compared to what they remember from their school days when kids at lunch were interacting with each other.
Well, I know that the Washington Post reports on Bellevue Christian School right here in the Seattle area where we are, and they actually, I know you spoke there, and they actually apparently followed some recommendations on your part with banning bringing iPhones, smartphones to school. And that seems to have been popular and to have worked out well. Have you been able to monitor the experience of other schools that have actually banned bringing the smartphones into school?
You know, that data is hard to come by, but it, just anecdotally, many folks have commented on how the social dynamic really changes when phones aren't available during the school day. And to be clear, most of these policies allow students to bring the phone because they often need that. It's very convenient, of course, to have that for getting to school, for pickup afterward, especially if, you know, they're high school students and they're driving. But during the school day, it goes in a locker or a pouch or someplace where they can't access it. And then they can have that interaction during lunch period. They aren't as distracted in the classroom. Ask any high school teacher these days. They'll tell you all about battling with the phone in the classroom. So we don't have great data on that yet. But I'm hoping that we'll hear more. A couple years ago, France actually had that instituted as a countrywide policy for their equivalent of middle school students that they couldn't access the phone during the day. So maybe we'll have data from there.
And France was not the one country. I know a number of people are probably wondering, well, 37 countries, 36 of them had this huge increase in loneliness. The one country that didn't was South Korea. Why not?
We don't really know. It's really a mystery. It could be that it is a culture that already places a lot of academic pressure on kids. They may have already felt disconnected beforehand. In general, in the other Asian countries, we had data from Hong Kong and from Japan as well. We didn't see as big of an increase in loneliness. It may just be the cultural dynamics are a little different. It could also be that technology was already such a big part of life in those countries in 2012. There wasn't as much change in access to technology over that time as in some other countries.
We've posted the piece about Dr. Twenge's study. Her book, again, We'll link to at our website at michaelmedved.com. It's called iGen, Why Today's Super Connected Kids Are Growing Up Less Rebellious, More Tolerant, Less Happy, and Completely Unprepared for Adulthood. Are you prepared for some of the latest political news? We will get to that and more. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook of me reading every single word of, I think, one of the most important books that's out there right now. And it comes to you together with an MP3 player, so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audio book and hardcover book bundle. This can be an important tool in combating some of the toxic lies about America. God's Hand on America, Divine Providence in the Modern Era at michaelmedved.com or medvedhistorystore.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of My Pillow, here to tell you about my Giza Dream bed sheets. I made sure that they would be everything you'd ever want in a sheet set. I started with the world's finest cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all meet. The long staple cotton makes my Giza Dream sheets ultra soft and durable. They come with extra wide pillowcases to fit over any pillow and extra deep pockets to fit over any mattress. Not only that, they come with my 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. I personally guarantee that they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
That's two for one low price, plus free shipping. Call 800-320-6280 or mypillow.com, promo code MEDVET. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MEDVET for these great radio specials.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, there was a great deal of discussion today at the White House press briefing about an art show, because who knew that Jen Psaki was such a fan of particular sorts of modern art. Well, actually, the art show, of course, involves the son of the President of the United States. And look, I wish I would be extremely happy never ever to talk about Hunter Biden again. However, with this going on and so flamboyantly and involving such spectacular amounts of money, it does raise all kinds of questions. Do you remember at one point there were calls for Kellyanne Conway to resign from the White House because she had talked up one of the mail order scarf, I think, manufacturing facilities that Ivanka Trump had been involved with. And that became a major scandal, and I'm afraid nothing came of it ultimately, but except for Kellyanne Conway being more careful not to use her public position to promote the scarf business or the accessories business of Ivanka Trump. But now, with Hunter, a meeting, actually, with the members of the gallery, the customers of the gallery that are going to be buying his paintings for phenomenal sums of money, up to $500,000. He already has gotten $2 million advance guaranteed by Simon & Schuster, major publisher, for his book. The entire thing may not be illegal, but it's deeply unseemly and inappropriate. This is Jen Psaki today trying to downplay the art show that is being convened for Hunter Biden and for some of his artistic stylings. He really has no training or background as an artist. And I think most people would agree that if his name was Hunter Robinette, that's the middle name of the President of the United States, he's Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. If his last name weren't Biden, really, do you think the art would be creating this kind of sensation? This is Jen Psaki speaking this morning. Listen.
Hunter Biden, you confirmed yesterday that he will be meeting with prospective buyers, but you also said that he's not going to have any conversation.
Not that he's meeting with prospective buyers, that he is attending gallery events that had been prior plans and announced.
There could be prospective buyers there.
He's not. Those discussions will be happening with the galleries, but that is different than meeting with prospective buyers.
If there are prospective buyers there, you said yesterday that he is not going to have any conversations related to the selling of art. How can the administration guarantee that?
The selling of his art will all have through the gallerists, and the names and individuals will be kept confidential. We will not be aware, neither will he be aware.
Is there anything stopping anyone from directly telling, though, Hunter Biden that they're going to purchase his art? And if they do, the American people won't know who they are.
He will not know. We won't know who purchases his art.
Okay. How will they not know if he's going to be there at the gallery and he sees somebody that he recognizes? And I mean, the idea that you're going to keep a transaction of that nature secret? And at some point or another, Hunter or his financial representatives, I mean, have to report this on taxes, right? Otherwise, there's a world of trouble. This the entire thing is very, very strange and very, very stupid on the part of the Biden family. And the former ethics chief for the Obama administration, whose name was Walter Schaub, was on CNN, and he said that, yes, Hunter actually will be meeting prospective buyers at two separate art shows before he sells his pieces. Here's what Walter Schaub had to say on CNN.
And you say, Walter, that the White House is outsourcing government ethics to an art dealer. Why?
They've put an art dealer in charge of keeping a secret. And really what he's doing is keeping a secret from the public, because eventually the Hunter Biden or people in the White House will learn who it's going to be. In fact, Hunter Biden, we now know, is going to be at two art showings where he will meet the universe of bidders on his art. So they left that detail out when they told us he had no way of knowing who was buying his art.
Okay, and then in the same interview, he went on to say something about why Hunter seems to be displaying such prodigious artistic talent and enjoying such success in the art world. Listen.
Now, obviously, the adult children of presidents have jobs. They have lives. They may even have hobbies. But art, you say, is actually sort of different because of the nature of it being priced somewhat capriciously, and that it is can be at a very high end used to actually launder money and other things. Explain how art is different and what the right way to do this might have been.
So there's no intrinsic value to the art. It's whatever anybody says they want to pay for it. Mm-hmm. The problem is they're buying it from the president's son at prices that you would never see for a first-time art sale. There's a local artist collective in Alexandria, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., where if you go, really well-established artists who've been doing this for years and have quite a year's quite a following are selling for $2,000 to $5,000. And he's not even at that level because this is his first sale. So it really doesn't matter whether anyone likes his art or not. The question is, can you find anyone other than a president's son who showed up on the scene and started selling for the cost of a house and a half? Because $295,000 was the price of the average home sale last year, and he's selling for up to $500.
Okay, and then he goes even further in condemning what's going on. Listen.
So should we know then who the buyer is? Should the American public know, and what kind of assurances does the White House need to give?
So ideally, Hunter Biden wouldn't be doing this because it sure looks like profiting off the presidency. But if they couldn't talk him out of doing it, there is something that's within their control. They could promise us today that if they happen to learn who any of the buyers are, they will notify us immediately, and they will tell us again if any of those buyers get a meeting with the White House or any other political appointee.
Or I guess Hunter Biden could do this under a pen name, and his real value would be established by the market, not his...
I have a feeling if he did it under a pen name, he wouldn't get much for it.
A pen name or a brush name? Yeah, I think that is probably true. He also, if his name weren't Hunter Biden, would not have gotten the $2 million advance from Simon Schuster for telling his story. Now, his story has some interest, but it's based upon his father's connection to the presidency, which is he's president of the United States. We will get back to political scandals and a scandal-plagued Republican hoping to make a comeback. No, not that one. We'll talk about that and more. Also, to look at a bargain, real bargain, in education. Coming up.
The Michael Medved Show. MichaelMedved.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards. An archbishop on Thursday responded to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's claim, a devout Catholic who supports abortion. Let me repeat, no one can claim to be a devout Catholic and condone the killing of innocent human life, San Francisco Archbishop Salvatore Corleone said in a statement. Pelosi was asked during a press conference earlier in the day why Democrats have declined to allow a vote on a bill that would block taxpayer-funded abortions.
Known as the Indians since 1915, Cleveland's Major League Baseball team will be called the Guardians. The ball club announced the name change Friday with a video narrated by Tom Hanks.
Because this is the city we love, and the game we believe in. And together, we are all Cleveland Guardians.
This is USA Radio News.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
MichaelMedved.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, one of the issues that we've brought up many times is the idea that right now many Americans, perhaps even most American families, believe that a four-year college degree is invaluable and necessary, and a ticket to moving up through the middle class and beyond. But Aaron Rasmussen wrote a terrific piece, and it was a piece for the Wall Street Journal, that talked about a way to do that, to achieve a four-year college degree, but to do it at a fraction of the cost. Now, he's not promoting any particular service. He is an American entrepreneur. He's an inventor and a game designer. He's currently founder and CEO of Outlier.org, a company that creates the world's best online college courses. Now, you're not talking here about college courses. You're talking about the available miracle known as community college. What's your basic argument, Aaron?
So the basic argument, thanks for having me, is that students can save a huge amount of money and get a great education by utilizing America's existing community college system, which I used myself, many of my family members used as well. And those credits frequently, especially if you get them pre-approved, will transfer into a four-year degree-granting university. And what this results in is you've got this great high-quality bachelor's from a university, but you've saved many thousands of dollars on the way and not saddled yourself with tons of student debt. And I think that's especially important now when a lot of people don't really know what they want to do ultimately. And racking up thousands and thousands of dollars of debt while trying to figure that out really limits your options when you go out to find a job.
Well, another advantage, and again, I know this from members of my family, is that another advantage is that it's much easier to get into a good community college than to get into a very competitive four-year college or university. You don't have the same level of anxiety. You don't need the same level of preparation, spending on application fees. And once you get in, if you do reasonably well, what's the likelihood that most people who actually finish an AA degree, an Associate of Arts degree, at a two-year community college will actually be able to go on to a four-year college or university?
It's a good question as to how many actually do. I don't have that at my fingertips. But essentially, 100% would have the option to go do that. Now, it might not be the initial university you were thinking of, because universities don't always agree on what sort of transfers in. But the example that I used in the article was, you know, Diablo Valley College in the East Bay is a frequent feeder school to UC Berkeley, which, I mean, that's a phenomenal. I want to say it's number one of the public universities at this point. And actually had a younger sibling go to DVC for 2 years and transfer into UC Berkeley. Now, of course, not everyone's going to do that, and there are 4,200 other colleges out there that people are going to want to attend and get great degrees and good educations and have great experiences at. So there's no reason not to start at a community college.
And the cost differential typically would be about what?
It's between $12,000 and $54,000. That you can save by attending your first couple of years at community college. So to put that in perspective, you know, you could, that's the equivalent of being able to afford showing up at your college graduation on a private jet, right? It's a huge amount of money.
Yeah, and again, what's the disadvantage, I would imagine, that I know people immediately think of, is you won't have that classic college experience of necessarily living on campus and being in the same place for all 4 years and forming these deep connections. Maybe that'll be compromised, but for a lot of people, if that's the cost of avoiding graduating from college with six figures in debt, which many people do today, aren't there a lot of folks who ought to at least consider that choice?
Absolutely. I mean, to your earlier point, too, community college does have a lot of flexibility that other universities that are sort of four-year degree granting don't. So even though you might not have that same all 4 years in the same place experience, you could conceivably take some of those savings and go travel abroad or have other really extraordinary experiences. And that's something that I missed out a little bit on going to Boston University, where I, you know, ultimately got my degree, is, you know, I didn't have the free cash to go on a study abroad or anything like this. I mean, that's part of why I was taking community college courses. So while that experience is different, I don't necessarily think it's going to be inferior. In fact, it really becomes a lot more what the student wants to make of it. And I think there's something so exciting about that, especially in the modern kind of gig economy.
Well, the other thing is it not true that in many community colleges, the general course offerings, you're going to have smaller classes, not the gigantic lecture classes that you would have at a four-year public university, state university?
Frequently, you'll have smaller class sizes. You'll have professors who are PhDs, whereas you might have graduate students in a university. And here's the thing, a PhD versus a grad student doesn't necessarily inform the quality of the instruction, for sure, but I had some of the best courses of my entire college career at community college.
Well, you're a CEO now, and is it true, as you suggest, and what indication do you have that it is, that when people look at your college transcripts, they actually do evaluate someone who has 2 years of community college and then 2 years of a big four-year college, that they are not going to value the community college portion less?
So this is a great thing to point out, because it's something that I ran across when talking to students about the stigma surrounding community college, which is they're afraid that employers are going to look at it and think less of you for having gone to community college. And I'm sure there's some employers out there, but I've hired a huge number of people for my career. This is my fourth business, and my last one I co-founded MasterClass. So I know that personally, and amongst the people that I know that hire a lot, it can actually be a positive because it's showing that you are resilient and it's showing you can adapt to change. And it's showing that you'll find a way to make something happen. And as an employer, you want that on your team. You want the person who figured out, hey, I can do this less expensively. I can still go to this four-year school. And that's where the bachelor comes from. So I think there is an assumption that I certainly had when I was a college student that it would somehow be frowned upon. And I would say it's easily neutral, if not a positive.
Which is a phenomenal benefit for saving a great deal of money. You heard the figures before. We've linked Aaron's piece onto our website to michaelmedved.com. And what about the rankings they do all the time? They do rankings of the major four-year universities. Wouldn't it be interesting to have similar rankings of community colleges, or does that exist?
There are some aspects of ranking that you can get, but it's nowhere near the same level that U.S. News and World Report does with the rankings of, you know, universities.
Or
I would love
Journal.
To see that.
Yeah. No, no. Again, you're the entrepreneur. You should do it because there's obviously a huge market for it, particularly if Biden succeeds with what he wants to do, which is basically provide 2 years of free community college. People are going to be fascinated, even more people than before, about figuring out which is the right community college to consider. Aaron Rasmussen, have a great weekend. Thank you for your enlightenment and for a very, very important contribution to the conversation. We'll be right back.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results. And after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone. But the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone. And so, therefore, my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654 pain, 833 654 pain.
Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
All across America, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, I had made a something of a pledge that I would be able to keep you informed of all of the really earth-shaking and important developments from the world of the Olympics, so that we can be your source for everything you need to know from the Olympics. And actually, the thing you need to know right now is they had their opening ceremony this morning. And it was soul-stirring. It included, very dramatically, a tap dancer. I'm not sure why. But he was all alone, the stadium empty. He was highlighted and tapping away, and because the stadium was empty, you can hear him tapping. And he was tapping, this is sort of like, what's the sound of 1 foot tapping? And I have to use both. But it sounded like this early this morning over in Tokyo. Listen. Okay, this does not mean that tap dancing is going to be introduced as a new Olympics event, but there was somebody who knows something about the Olympics, having run a very successful Winter Olympics some years ago in Salt Lake City. The senator from Utah, Mitt Romney, spoke on the Senate floor last night to introduce a resolution honoring this solemn occasion. Listen.
We recognize the dedication of the athletes and coaches of the United States Olympic and Paralympic teams, as well as the family, friends, and loved ones who support them. We're grateful to our friends in Japan who have committed tremendous resources to provide a safe and secure games. I think with great gratitude for these people in Japan, the people of that great country, for the enormous sacrifice they've made to host the world, to demonstrate to the world that qualities of the human spirit are great indeed, and to make their home a place where the entire world comes to gather and celebrate the human spirit and its accomplishments. And while these games may look a little different this year, we stand with Team USA and will be cheering them on as they bring many medals back home.
Which is lovely sentiments. That's just fine, Senator Romney. The idea that he's talking about the Japanese sacrifice to host these Olympics 1 year delayed. Now, of course, they would have not been such a total fiasco as it appears to be becoming for Tokyo and for the Japanese government and the Japanese people, frankly, if it had not been for the COVID pandemic. But they also have all these other problems of a range of people. We were covering it yesterday, being dropped from their positions with the opening ceremonies, with the empty stadia, and with all of the rest of it going on. Isn't it ring a little bit hollow to treat these Olympic Games as celebrating the triumph of the human spirit? I mean, who knows? Maybe there will be terrific encouragement coming up and some real inspiration. Certainly hope so, and good luck. I was unaware that skateboarding was... Do they have skateboarding where you jump into the air and then come... crashing, demonstrate the force of gravity? Is that... Yeah, okay, well, great. Look, I can't imagine that... NBC is covering the Olympics, as always, and I can't imagine that they are thrilled at the way these particular Olympic Games are turning out. Speaking of sports, the NFL... just announced a new rule concerning COVID. And this is going to be deeply controversial. But look, it's a private organization. People shouldn't talk about getting some kind of public authority involved with it. But here is the rule about a COVID outbreak on a team, newly announced by the NFL, Clip 5.
The NFL just informed clubs that if a game can't be rescheduled, remember we're expanding the season this year, adding an extra game, it's going to be 18 weeks and 17 games, that if a game can't be rescheduled this year because of a COVID issue with one team, and that issue is among unvaccinated players, then the team with the outbreak will forfeit. You're going to get a loss. The other team's going to get a win, and that's it. And there are also, Mike, potential financial penalties for that team. Yeah. The financial burden will be on that team.
Both teams.
Both teams. Right, right. But, in other words, get your guys vaccinated here.
This is Jen Psaki being asked about the new NFL rule. What a job she has. Here is what she has to say in that context. Listen.
The NFL policy is making clear how they're going to proceed with their season. That's their role to do, right? We certainly believe the biggest takeaway is that getting vaccinated is our ticket back to normal.
Okay, let us hope that that is the case. And by the way, back to normal does not necessarily mean that you won't have to wear masks. So in Congress right now, they are about to reinstate the mask-wearing requirement. And why? Because it's very simple. They have found that the Delta variant, which is now dominant across the country, most of the new cases are that variant. It is so intensely infectious and so much more so and carries so much heavier a viral load that though they had believed that a vaccine would be a very strong protection even without masking, now it appears that because of the heavier infectious nature of the Delta variant, that masking is still recommended. And this question came up on CBS about federal government issuing vaccine mandates. And this is from CBS News, Nancy Cordes, And then the response of Jen Psaki, clip 6.
She says that she doesn't know what else she can do at this point, that she's hit a brick wall with trying to convince people to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Is that a sign that perhaps the federal government should step in and issue mandates? And if not, are you putting the needs of unvaccinated people ahead of the needs of vaccinated people?
Well, I think the question here, one, that's not the role of the federal government. That is the role that institutions, private sector entities, and others may take. That certainly is appropriate. Also, local communities are going to take steps they need to take in order to protect people in their communities.
Okay, look, that is a smart, appropriate, and it seems to me a politically astute response. The idea of a federal mask mandate would create more controversy in Washington, more bitter controversy in Washington when we hardly need it. And getting vaccines and protecting yourself, can we understand that people are not urging people to get vaccines for their personal benefit or to fuel a personal agenda? It's actually to try to help the country, protect the economy, protect the well-being of Americans in every section of the country, including sections that are, I won't even say they're unvaccinated. They're not vaccinated yet, but that will soon take place. Coming up, we're going to be speaking to the author of a terrific column that says, "Stop Insulting Trump Voters, Democrats, and Belittling Their Concerns." It's in the Washington Post, so it will be undoubtedly read by substantial numbers of Democrats. And three big crowd-pleasing movies, all of which are opening in theaters, one of which has already made $30 million in theaters, which makes it one of the top money-making movies so far this year. Space Jam with Bugs Bunny and, yes, LeBron James, Snake Eyes from the G.I. Joe universe, and M. Night Shyamalan, an already controversial film called Old. That in a country that never gets old and remains the greatest nation on God's green earth.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, right? It and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.